What's up, y'all? Will here at Schedulefly. This is the second in our four-part series of conversations with folks at Crafted Hospitality in New York City. And this is Carmen Salgado. She's the director of finance. And this is pretty cool because Carmen has been there. She was part of the opening team in 2001. Now, she worked a year, left a year, came back in 03, and has been there ever since. So she has had a very unique perspective of watching Tom Colicchio, you know, go from opening their, you know, their first opening there and being a part of that opening team to here we are in 2023, incredible restaurant group, a beloved brand, you know, a celebrity chef owner who's clearly, as you'll hear in this interview and all of them, is very kind and authentic and cares about his team very deeply. And that's, you know, obviously a big part of why this group has done so well. So it was great talking to Carmen. She's the first director of finance that we've had on this podcast. So that was cool. And I was really appreciative of her taking the time to do this. I enjoy talking to her. Like everybody I've come into contact with there, she has a great personality and loves what she does. And is just comes across as very happy and kind and thoughtful and intentional person who enjoys what she does very thoroughly, which is why she's here. She is, you know, 21 years there, 21 years of tenure within this organization. So enjoy this episode. But before you do, check out a word from our sponsor, Pop Menu. Pop Menu, who is also a partner of Schedulefly. Pop Menu is all about making your day easier and your sales bigger. They will simplify your marketing operations, bring in more guests, and capture customer data for personalized remarketing to keep them coming back. With one super simple to use platform that integrates with most point of sales like Toast and Square and a number of others, Pop Menu starts with a beautifully designed, easy to update, interactive menu that transforms the guest experience online. It includes a brand new website that's optimized for search engines like Google for no additional cost. Automated digital marketing, online ordering and waitlisting, and you'll never miss another call with their AI answering solution that costs as little as 47 cents an hour. Plus so much more. There's a link to Pop Menu in the show notes. I'll say this, that we have a lot of mutual customers, and the mutual customers I've spoken to have consistently said great product, great customer service, and great results. So check out Pop Menu and check out this episode with Carmen Salgado, Director of Finance, Crafted Hospitality in New York City. More episodes coming soon. See ya.
Now we're good. How you doing, Carmen?
I'm well, and you?
I'm great. Thanks for taking the time to do this today.
Of course. Of course. I hope everything is okay, that it couldn't be in person, but that's okay.
That was a bummer. I wish I were there. I'm glad we have this, the ability to do this.
I know, me too.
So introduce yourself, if you wouldn't mind, Carmen.
My name is Carmen Salgado. I'm the director of finance for Crafted Hospitality.
And you have been with this group for a long time, if I understand correctly.
Correct. That was actually part of the opening team back in 2001. I worked for a year and then I left for a year and then I came back in 2003 and I've been here since then.
Okay. And you, you went to the Culinary Institute of America?
Yes, I did. After college, I did my undergrad in business admin and finance and always loved the hospitality industry and just wanted to, I dabbled a little bit with investment banking, hated the environment. It's basically you're being paid to gamble. And I just didn't like that. So I really wanted to be in the hospitality. I had done a few trips to Europe and fell in love with the food, fell in love with the wine, fell in love with how it really makes people happy. And so I just decided to go to CIA I was there, did my associates in culinary arts, not pastry. And then I worked a little bit in the kitchen both here in the US and also in Mexico, where I'm from. And eventually migrated into the, you know, the kitchen is great, but unless you're one of those super creative guys like Tom Colicchio, which I'm not, you know, you end up doing the same salad over and over. And so I got a little bit bored, and also I want to have a family. And as a woman, you know, 20 something years ago, it wasn't the best environment to be able to eventually have a family. And so I started to think a little bit more strategically. And again, I wanted to use more of the skills that I had learned in my undergrad of business admin and finance. And so I found a way to still be in the hospitality industry, do numbers, which I love. I love to do numbers. I love math. I love that kind of part, that puzzle that it is, and still be involved in the creative part of the culinary arts. And so when I moved to New York, learned of what Tom was trying to do. He was a Gramercy at the time in 2000, and learned what he was trying to do with his place and with met Kitty Greco, who was his partner and who opened Kraft, and just fell in love with the concept, with what they were trying to do with the green market vendors, the vendors around, you know, New York, local produce, and then just the simplicity of being able to put things on the table and let them shine for what they are, which is what Tom does fabulously, I think. And so you get chicken, but it's the best chicken, prepared perfectly. And it's just, you know, what it could not be anything better than that. And so I tried to start in the office. There was really nothing. So I started answering phones just to get my foot in the door. And within 6 months, I was a bookkeeper because the bookkeeper that we had went MIA, disappeared. Nobody knew how to do payroll. Nobody knew how to cut checks for vendors. And so the office manager and myself stepped in, and I've been here ever since.
Well, it says a lot about Tom's leadership that you've been with this business for 20 years, over 20 years.
To me, it's home. What he created with Lori, him and his wife, and Kitty Greco, what they have built, the environment, how they treat employees, how they treat vendors, how they treat clients. I just, you know, to me, it's home. I wouldn't think of anywhere else to be.
So in your, like, what are some of the main things you focus on? And I wonder, like, I was speaking to Greg, and we were talking about y'all's growth plans and how, you know, approaching potential tenants is different, or potential landlords, that is, as a tenant now, is different for y'all, because you're looking more as, you know, base plus percent of revenue. Like, is this the kind of stuff that you work on trying to figure out, you know, the appropriate lease positioning, financial positioning when y'all enter a new market, like when you're going into DC?
I think the world after pandemic changed dramatically. The labor force changed. I mean, I'm hybrid right now, which is great, which is something pre-pandemic would have never happened. Right. And that's just one example, right? So everything changed. The businesses changed, the hospitality businesses changed in terms of where they want to be, how fast and how much they want to grow, as well as the landlords. I think the landlords were very much impacted, just as we were, right? As the restaurants were as well. And so some of them were great and wanted to work with us, and some weren't. And so after that, after we came out of it, we just wanted to make sure that we focused on people that were really going to be invested in our, you know, in how we do business and our well-being just as much as theirs, and not just treat us like a line in their balance sheet that just collects rent. And so I think that a lot of it is coming from there. And also just from trial and error of what has worked the night before, because we've had restaurants like other, hospitality groups that have failed. And a lot of it has had to do with the negotiation of the lease and that relationship with the landlord. Yeah.
Yeah. That's such an important piece of what y'all do as you grow. And then what about, it must be so challenging now to keep up with, and I guess maybe it's leveled off some, I don't know, but food costs have gone up, labor costs have gone up, rent's been, it must at least make what you do very interesting, but pretty challenging, I would think, sometimes too.
Well, I'm sure that Greg touched on this, and I'm familiar with the restaurant industry. There's never a boring day. There's never a day that you can just get to chill out and, relax. Every day you come in thinking, oh, it's going to be an easy Tuesday. No. But that's also why we love it and why we're here. It is definitely, again, after pandemic, learning how to do business is brand new. The labor force, the type of employees we can get now that are interested in working in the hospitality industry is different. We definitely had to rethink what we were offering, everything, the service we wanted to do with a labor force that was contracted and that was not necessarily very experienced. And so, sure, we had to offer more money, but that's not it, right? People at some point are not going to necessarily stay because of that. So we had to become more efficient. And so we revised absolutely every position and what can we modify, what can we change to make it, again, more efficient, but also better for the employees and just learn how to do business in a new way. Food, the cost of ingredients, of raw ingredients, has definitely impacted everything. And there's only so much you can pass on to the guest without the guest saying, you know what, this is it. There's a certain elasticity there that at some point it breaks. So then you focus on, okay, what do they really want? What does the guest really want that you can offer that is going to be attractive without breaking your bank and without them saying, you know what, instead of going three times a month, I'm only going to go one time a month because it's just too much. So there's a fine line that you have to really thread through, and there's menu engineering and looking at what sells, what doesn't sell, what, Tom is constantly thinking about what can, what other things are coming up in the market, what other vendors he's met in Long Island or not. And, Ballad is a great example of how we just had an empty space that used to be a private dining room that after the pandemic in 2020, everything started to reopen, events did not. They were not going to come back. And that was easy to see. And we found out very quickly. And so we had an empty space that we had to pay rent on. And so what do we do? And Tom said, I love this type of food, which was, like a Roman trattoria. Let's just try doing. So we did a little pop-up. Turned out that, food was great. People love it. And now we have a new restaurant in a space that used to be a private dining room just because of that. And so you really need to be on your toes to be able to pivot and learn and use what you just learned to be better and to continue change. Otherwise, you're not going to survive.
Mm. Yeah, particularly in, what a competitive market y'all are in. Are there have a lot of restaurants closed for good in New York? Are there fewer restaurants now than there were a few years ago? Or
no, a lot closed and a lot reopened.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a hodgepodge. I joke with some of my friends and family because New York has changed dramatically. Stores that I didn't know were there, all of a sudden they're there. I have to walk it all over again because you know New York when you walk it, right? And so stores that I thought were still there, they're not. Every now and then I either walk or take the bus just to see what's you know, down Broadway, down Bowery, to see what is happening, because it has changed dramatically. And it has impacted big hospitality groups, as well as the mom and pop delis and, the Hudson News kind of places that used to depend a lot on the office workers that are just not really coming back. And so they're dying as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting, so much of that city was just the hustle and bustle is office workers. And if people aren't, so you're seeing that a lot as well.
Yeah, the rich and kind of people.
Smaller lunch crowds and
Do you and live then in- also corporations that just, you know, are doing events, but very different events. We're not getting the 100 people, 2-3 day event that, for instance, I don't know, Nike would do or Grey Goose would throw for a marketing launch. We're not getting those. We're getting much, much more social things, bridal showers, weddings. 2021, I think everybody wanted to marry. really understand why, but everybody wanted to marry. And so we're seeing a lot of those things where before it was much more corporate, the law firm throwing their holiday party. And now we're seeing the board of directors dinner for 20 instead of the 100. So again, we just had to pivot and start changing who we target and how do we reach that market, because you can't reach it with the same menu. You cannot reach it with the same offerings. It's different. It's not the same.
What is it like? Are there other groups, or whether it's there in New York or over in Europe or where that you've traveled, are there folks that you draw inspiration from outside of Tom and your teammates there in hospitality?
Definitely what, other people of our level are doing. It's a small industry, believe it or not. It's very incestuous. At some point, you know, everybody that's worked everywhere. You think of a group that you idolize, and then you end up hearing stories and you're like, oh, maybe I don't want to work there. That happens, you know. But then you see some of the newcomers. It's been so interesting to see the what has pop up in Brooklyn and Williamsburg. Very creative, very different things that 10, 15 years ago would not have, flown. And they're great. And they're bringing in a mix, something into the mix that, I'm loving seeing it, loving seeing how some of those suburbs that before, were pretty mediocre instead of the offerings of, in terms of quality of food and what they were doing, it was sure the neighborhood joint and the mom and pop that has been there for 50 years, but it was rare that you would be able to find something truly unique that was interesting, that wanted you to, take the trip to Jersey City or to Harlem or things like that. And they're there now. They're there because they popped up after the pandemic. And though that's the competition now, in order to stay relevant, they are the competition. So we need to really keep in track with those folks.
Yeah. Have you had people that have come up through your group that have gone out and done their own thing?
Oh yeah. I mean, there's a whole university of crafted. Sure, of course. Jonathan Benno, Damon Wise, Lauren Hirschberg, Marco Canora, David Chang, the Momofuku people. I mean, there's so many that Tom has touched. They're everywhere there, not just in New York, in LA, in Philly. They're around, still in touch.
Good to see that. Great to see. I mean, it's a wonderful industry where you can really put hard work and creativity into something and make it your own and learn from others, come up, grow up learning from people and then wind up teaching people, which I'm sure Tom did too. It's a great industry for people that, don't want to get into investment banking or corporate jobs and, want something that's both interesting and stimulating and hard work, but very rewarding. And it brings people from all walks of life, which is what I love about the industry so much. It's the most diverse, meritocratic industry, I think, anywhere.
Yep. Diversity for sure. We have employees from everywhere, and we've had it for many, many years, which makes it also very, very cool, very interesting. You know, when you are having family meal, and then, you know, the two people next to you are actually on Ramadan, and so they can't because they're fasting, but then after work, you know, they can eat. And then, so we, you know, go and have a meal with them. And it is just, I mean, I love it. It's great.
Yeah, I can tell you do. It's been a rewarding industry for you. I can tell. Your enthusiasm for it comes across very, very well, very authentically.
Thank you. I was lucky enough to find what I liked and then find an environment where they let me do it and they treat me well and I'm able to provide for my family. And so how lucky am I? It doesn't come easy. Yeah.
Do you have kids?
I have one son. He's a sophomore in college. Yes.
He's a sophomore. Is he going to be in hospitality or did you steer him in a different direction?
No, he worked last summer in the hospitality industry. I think he's going to do a couple of months this summer too, just to make a little bit of money. And you know, 20-year-old, he's starting to drink a little bit. And so I don't want him to just go and drink crappy vodka with water. I want him to drink. I mean, that's something that's worth it. And so I think I'm going to try to see if he can do a little bit at a wine bar down in Tribeca. I know the owner. And so maybe he can go in and learn from the master himself. But no, he's actually studying civil engineering. He's good at math too.
He's good at math like mom. All right. Good. Yes. Well, the last thing, so, you know, you mentioned, you know, drinking good stuff. I find it really interesting that the industry has, you know, it's a work hard, play hard industry. There's alcohol, there's substance stuff going on. And you know, the industry for a long time sort of was like this work hard, play hard. And it created this really good family bonding environment, but not in the best way. And I hear a lot more folks in the industry trying to find that, you know, good balance of, teamwork and camaraderie, but not necessarily around some of the negative behaviors that have come with that. And mental health has become a more important topic. And it just seems like people are more serious about taking, you know, that seriously now. It's been an issue for a while that, you know, has led to the loss of some people. And, you know, it's great to see people in the industry begin to really try to find healthy ways to create that team environment now.
It's definitely one of the hardest things, I think, you know, the how much inflation is, how much you pay the landlord. The most difficult part is managing your team, finding a team that is going to fit into the culture of the company, and then managing that team and keeping them interested, keeping them happy. Is definitely the most challenging part, no matter what, if pre-pandemic, after pandemic, during pandemic. But if you are in a company that values individuality, that values work-life balance, that values diversity, like you mentioned, and that really cares, you know, it's there. Of course, there are, you know, stories and people that fall through the cracks or that may not just, you know, they're just not in the right place at the right time necessarily. And then they come and go. But for the most part, that is definitely the most challenging part, the managing the human being, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, y'all obviously do a great job with it. And you've built an incredible organization. And I tip my hat for, you know, 2 decades plus of service there. That's quite an accomplishment. It just says a lot about the team that y'all have built. And y'all have obviously had an amazing amount of success, and I wish you continued success. And I look forward when I actually can get to New York to come and meet you in person. But
please, yes,
thank you for taking the time to do this. I know you're a busy lady. I've really enjoyed talking to you. You have an infectious personality and love for what you do. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Can't wait to hear what comes out of this.
What's that?
Can't wait to hear what comes out of this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for doing it. I appreciate you very much. And we'll have these episodes up soon. And
all right.
Have a good rest of your day.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
All right. See you, Carmen.
Bye.